Hello, and welcome to the Whole Life Health Podcast, conversations to empower your healthy whole life. I'm your host, Lexi Endicott, a registered dietitian and certified culinary medicine specialist. Throughout this podcast, I hope to provide applicable, realistic, and practical tools to improve and optimize your health. Why am I creating a podcast in an already super saturated market? Well, a few reasons. First of all, I really enjoy helping individuals and communities overcome barriers to living healthy, balanced lives, hence my career choice as a dietitian. Secondly, and I'll go into way more detail about this later, there is a huge gap between the information available about food, health, exercise, and nutrition, and the health outcomes that we see in our society. I am curious about discussing and learning how to close that gap between information and the necessary actions required to achieve lasting health. I'm excited about the approach that my guests and I will take to do so. Again, we'll get into more details about this later. And finally, I was encouraged to take the leap and start this podcast by a former professor and mentor of mine, Dr. Mark Dennis from TCU, with whom I worked closely on a paper and presentation about mindful eating in college. We'll get to hear from Dr. Dennis in a future episode. I'm very excited to have him on the pod. So we've got a super exciting journey of learning ahead of us, but before we dive in, I want to say a few things about who I am, how I got here, and why I am so passionate about speaking to the matter of health. So when I was in second or third grade, on my About Me homework, I wrote that my favorite food was pesto salmon grilled on a cedar plank. So it was evident from a young age that I had a love for delicious food. I also started running in third grade in a program called Girls on the Run, and I have called myself a runner ever since. In junior high, I was on the cross country team, and of course, as a growing teenager, I had an insatiable appetite specifically for cold cereal. While I ate my post-practice bowls of cereal, I picked up an interest in reading the nutrition facts panels on the back. And I have a confession to make to my former junior high school teachers and my mom that I counted my time reading those nutrition labels towards my summer reading log. And in hindsight, that probably wasn't the most ethical or honest way to count my summer reading time. However, you could argue that that was one thing that sparked my interest in nutrition, so maybe it wasn't all that bad. During my junior year in high school as an athlete, one of our assistant coaches talked to us about the importance of nutrition, and I walked away from that presentation knowing that I wanted to study nutrition in college. So fast forward several years, and I graduated from Texas Christian University with my Bachelor's of Science in Coordinated Dietetics and became a registered dietitian that summer. I worked for a year in Fort Worth while my husband, Talon, finished his degree in psychology. And while both TCU and Fort Worth were incredible places to learn, grow, and form lifelong connections, we were feeling drawn to move back to Boise, Idaho, where we both grew up, so that we could be closer to family and back in the comfort of the mountains. We love hiking, running, biking, and walking our puppy, Millie, through the beautiful rolling foothills of Boise. Fall is in full swing here in B-Town, and I'm not telling you to move here because the housing market is crazy, but if you want a complete taste of autumn bliss, Boise in September and October is the place to be. Fall is such a fun time to try out new recipes between soups, roasted vegetables, and baked goods. And I really am trying to improve my baking skills this season with limited success. I'm not particularly good at following recipes. I consider myself more of an intuitive cook a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And baking is a precise science, but I'm trying to develop that skill of precision. Anyway, I digress. So last summer and fall, while we were hunkered down in the middle of the pandemic, I studied to get my certification as a culinary medicine specialist. Culinary medicine was an internship rotation that I did during my undergraduate degree. And now having this certification gives me the credibility to teach people how to use food as medicine to prevent, manage, or even treat specific conditions and diagnoses. I find this certification to be highly versatile and applicable to so many areas of my life and work. Currently, I work for a culinary nutrition education company called To Taste. We are a team of registered dietitians and chefs, and we teach individuals and groups how to cook nourishing, flavorful, and artistic meals to their taste. I also do some one-on-one nutrition counseling, the occasional nutrition presentation, and I'm also an assistant cross-country coach at my alma mater high school. I so enjoy working with, running with, and getting my butt kicked by these high school student athletes. And I really love teaching them about sports nutrition as it feels so full circle to what got me to where I am today. So besides sports and culinary nutrition, I am also interested in sustainable agriculture, food waste, food recovery, food policy, mindful eating, community programming, and nutrition education. I've gained a lot of inspiration and direction from authors such as Dan Buettner, who wrote The Blue Zone Solution, Michael Pollan, Mary Nessel, and many more. But these three specifically, I had the privilege of meeting during my time at TCU. And I'm so excited to talk more about their work in future episodes. Okay, so I think that's enough about me for now. Let's move on to the real fun stuff, whole life health. So this podcast is designed to be in a conversation format. But before any guests come on, I'd really like to set the stage with what this whole life health thing means. This will help guide and provide structure to future conversations with invited guests. And in those episodes, we'll explore how they are creating, encouraging, and building whole lives of health for themselves and their communities. When tackling the extremely broad category of health, I wanted to get a good sense of what that word health meant to people. So I just sent out a basic inquiry over text and on social media, and these were just some of the responses that I received. Quote, feeling strong and motivated and doing all you can to be able to do what you love. And being patient when limitations exist that are out of your control. Another one, feel good, look good, have clear thoughts. And another, physical, mental, and emotional well-being, doing whatever is best for your body's longevity, nourishment and sustainable well-being. And finally, my body feels good and allows me to do the activities I enjoy. So thank you to everyone who contributed and for your wonderful insight. Health can mean different things for different people, and it's also multifactorial. Physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, social, relational, financial, environmental, all are branches of health. Of course, as a dietitian, I'm most knowledgeable about food and nutrition. So physical health will be the primary focus of my conversations, but there are a lot of aspects of nutrition that touch the mental, spiritual, social, financial, and environmental components of health too. So we'll definitely cover those topics as we go along. The guests that I'll bring on will be able to provide their own flavor of what health means to them and the communities that they engage with. As I've progressed through my education and career, I have found that most people know what health is, why it's important, and even the basic actions required to improve it. There's no shortage of fad diets, weight loss programs, trendy supplements, expensive exercise programs, time-intensive retreats, detoxes, cleanses, you name it. But in spite of this knowledge and these supposed solutions, there still seem to be factors at play that either enable or prevent people from finding lasting health. This is evidenced by rising obesity rates, chronic disease rates, decreases in physical activity, among other outcomes. A few months ago, I was feeling frustrated by the fact that I was seeing these same issues come in and out of my office. Obesity, prediabetes, anxiety, depression, high blood pressure, high cholesterol. Of course, I wasn't frustrated at the people themselves. Of course they deserve compassionate care. Of course I provided them with empathetic and relevant advice to help them improve their health. But still, I was feeling perplexed by this gap between health information and action, and it caused me to get really serious about grappling with this question. What are the enabling factors that truly allow people to achieve lasting health? And what can be done to eliminate or decrease barriers to health for both individuals and communities? So I decided to take this question for a hike. I find that's often where I do my best thinking. And 6 miles later, I had come up with this acronym, HEALTH. HEALTH stands for 6 often overlooked factors that can enable individuals and communities to achieve long-term well-being. H, home environment. E, education. A, access. L, lasting habits. T, time. H, help. To create a basic metaphor, we can imagine this acronym of HEALTH as the foundation of a house. The foundation of a house is often overlooked. It's not glamorous, and honestly, it's just plain boring. Yet, without it, the house would not be stable, and its ability to provide shelter would be short-lived. Similarly, when we don't acknowledge and establish these foundational components of health, we can expect that any shortcut efforts to achieve health will be short-lived and futile. We can't get caught up in the wall color of the second story guest bedroom before the cement has even been laid. And we can't get caught up in the nuances of probiotic supplementation if we don't even know why we need them in the first place. So let's start with the basics and then we can build from there. I'll go over each factor briefly today, and then over the course of the next 6 episodes, we'll go into each in greater detail and dive into the research, case studies, and examples that I've seen throughout my career, as well as applicable steps that you can take today to achieve whole life health. H, home environment. Your home environment is a space in which you eat, sleep, maybe work, spend time with family, spend time with friends, relax, and so on. The ways in which you set up your environment can play a huge influence in if, what, when, how, and how much you eat, move, and rest. Here's one simple example. If you have sugary cereal in your pantry, you are much more likely to eat sugary cereal than if you had not purchased it. On that same token, you are more likely to eat fresh fruit if you have it visible on the counter than if you have it tucked away in some low visibility place in the fridge. E, education. Knowledge is power. I know it's cliche, but it's true. Knowing which foods are nourishing and which foods are nutrient poor, knowing which forms of movement are beneficial versus those that could be harmful, knowing sleep hygiene tips, and knowing stress reduction strategies can empower you to make healthy, informed choices. A, access. This one is big for me. The first 2 points actually become irrelevant if this one isn't achievable. We cannot have the discussion about diet, weight, supplements, a quote, healthy, balanced lifestyle, if individuals and communities are struggling to simply get food on the table. There are approximately 42 million individuals in the United States right now that experience food insecurity, and over 800 million people worldwide that lack access to adequate food. For many, if not most, of these people, they are more concerned about eating at all rather than the specific quality of those nutrients. L, lasting habits. Do you brush your teeth every day? Hopefully twice a day? Great, you know how to keep a habit. So now that we've determined that it's not impossible for you to create and stick to habits, let's acknowledge that consistency is essential in order to produce successful outcomes. When setting up new health priorities and goals, it's important that they can be incorporated into your life in ways that can be sustained for the long term. In the habits episode to come, we'll discuss the problem with diets and how instead adopting a healthful, lifelong eating pattern can be a more optimal choice. T, time. Have you ever gotten to the end of the day and wish that you just had a few more hours? Like, wouldn't a 28-hour day be nice sometimes? Then maybe you would have gotten that workout in, or made a nutritious dinner instead of grabbing takeout, or packed a lunch for tomorrow, or cleaned the kitchen, or walked your dog. Or maybe you've gotten to Sunday evening and begged the universe for just one more day of the weekend. Yeah, I've been there too. Work days and work weeks are long, often leaving us drained and depleted by the end of the day. Add into the mix families, pets, sports, appointments, social gatherings, and other commitments, and health can often take a backseat. For many of us, it just seems that time is not on our side. But of course, we need to find time in order to improve and optimize our health. So in future episodes, we'll explore how setting boundaries, priorities, schedules, and lists can open up more time and space for healthy behaviors. H, help. Last, but certainly not least, we all could use a little help. Whether through an accountability partner, a list of resources, individual counseling, or structured classes, having an external guiding factor can increase and improve the likelihood of making lasting, positive changes. If you're looking for some help today, I'm going to make a shameless plug for the company that I work for, To Taste, where we have a large archive of recipes, articles, videos, and online classes that can help you kickstart your journey. Other helpful resources include the Blue Zones books and website, nutritionfacts.org, eatright.org, or Harvard's Nutrition Source. Of course, there are thousands of books, articles, videos, documentaries, podcasts, social media accounts, and I encourage you to find resources that are evidence-based, reputable, and relevant to your life. Of course, I hope that this podcast can be a source of help to you as well. I hope that my future guests and I can illuminate how all of these factors of health interrelate and how and why health means so much more than just eating less and exercising more. That's it. Health, home environment, education, access, lasting habits, time, and help. I'm so eager to teach and guide you along your individual health journey and, of course, learn and grow in my own understanding of health as we go along. In our next episode, we'll learn more about that first factor, home environment. In future episodes, you can prepare for expert discussions around food deserts, food insecurity, food waste, environmental stewardship, mindfulness, longevity, and so much more. I hope that you stick around with me so that we can learn together. If you would like to share what health means to you, or if you have any questions that you would like answered on this platform, I would love to hear. I'm always learning. And of course, as a new podcaster, I have lots of opportunities to grow. So if you have any comments, feedback, or insight that you'd like to share, send it my way at wholelifehealthpodcast@gmail.com. That's wholelifehealthpodcast@gmail.com. If you learned something new or were inspired by anything discussed today, I would be thrilled if you shared online or on social media. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to learn with me and the Whole Life Health audience. I look forward to continuing the conversation in the future. Here's to your healthful whole life. Be well.